Go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
We wanted to say good evening to our listeners and thank you again for being a part of the Wise Women Media radio show. This is Anita Stewart. I'm broadcasting from north of Tampa, Florida, and we wanted to welcome our special guest, Tricia Springstead, who's going to fill us in about what's happening in the Gulf of BP and what's happening with the illness there, the toxicity, the environmental ecocide and terricide that's been continuing since the Gulf oil gusher on April 20th, 2010. Tricia, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm right here. Hello.
And I also wanted to thank our sponsors before we get started. That would be the Hoodoo blog, Here Be Monsters, and Roundtree 7 for allowing us to be a part of their network. Tricia.
And thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Anita.
And for making these shows possible, really. And I wanted to ask Tricia to tell the listeners how we met, which it was kind of unusual, but it was a Facebook thing, and it was there was a lot of communication before we actually met in person. So go ahead and
fill
them in.
But I also call it a God-ordained thing. I mean, if I hadn't have met Anita and I hadn't have met Dr. Ricky Ott and these people in Hernando County, I would not be where I'm at. And at the very beginning, in May, after the oil spill, I was up in Gulf Shores, and I was up in Orange Beach. And I was getting samples with my videographer, David Curtis, and we were almost arrested twice. If arrested, that would have been a $60,000 fine and 6 months in jail. And
wow.
these cretins that worked for BP were all over us. And it was not, you know, BP has its own shadow military. And these people were on us like white on rice. And I was just up there, I came from California. I work with a lot of very open-minded people, and they wanted to find a way to help us fix the spill. And I was up in Orange Beach, and I was up in Gulf Shores, and I was getting samples. Well, what happened was, as I was, you know, I ran into Ron Mott in Gulf Beach, in Gulf Shores, I'm sorry. I ran into Ron Mott, the night before, I had gone into a bar, and, you know, if you want to find out what's going on in any town, you go to the local bar where the Mariners are. And this one Mariner slipped us a piece of paper and said, go to this area, and you'll find 12 inches at least on top of the soil, of the Gulf. And so we went down to the sands, and it was all cleaned up. And I went up to Ron Mott, and I said, what the hell is going on? I was told there was 12 inches of oil and sludge, and it's been covered up overnight. Now, this was 2 days after Obama came up to Pensacola. And the bottom line is that I was almost arrested twice. I have been up in that Gulf region. I've been in Alabama. I've been up in the Gulf region of Florida, in the Panhandle. And then I was out in Apalachicola, and I was seeing dirty oysters. And I was finding out that what was going on was that you know, they were covering it up because they still wanted to sell those Apalachicola oysters. So what happened was I kept going up there in order to help these people and work with the fishermen and look at bioremediation, and then I got arrested. I got arrested for a DUI. I was not drunk. I was not impaired. And I got arrested by Fish and Wildlife. So then what happened was they put a tracker on my truck. And everywhere I went, I was getting pulled over. And I finally found out that the Fish and Wildlife people up there hated me. And the people in Apalachicola did not want me to spill the beans on what was going on. And in Apalachicola and that county, they had accepted $3.2 million in BP funds. Meanwhile,
yeah,
all these oystermen, all
over,
these people
all
are losing their jobs.
Yeah, yeah. I know
that. You
know,
they're not taking care of those people.
No, the USF, for instance, as we know, the University of South Florida has accepted a $500 million grant from BP.
And Anita, you need to tell these people what we went through when we went to that meeting.
Well, I think we can both tell them.
Yep.
When we went to the meeting, which was, it was a Sierra Club forum called, I believe it was called, What Science of the Spill or something to
Correct.
That effect. I have it written down somewhere.
And then,
but in any, go ahead.
They promised us that they would give me 5 minutes to show them the skin problems these people are having, the eye problems, everything. All I wanted was 5 minutes. Now you tell them what happened.
Well, Tricia stood up and was going to speak, and she had been promised that she would be allowed to speak about the human impact, because the human impact was not even touched on by the scientists or anybody else that was there speaking. And she was quickly silenced and was not allowed to speak. And it really was it wasn't an open forum. This was definitely an event put on for show, and it was definitely to divert the attention of what was going on with the human impact. There were many environmental issues discussed, but nothing about the seriousness of how this would impact on any kind of animal, including humans.
And in that meeting, you know, I kept saying humans are people too. You know,
humans are animals
too.
Right.
And you guys don't get it. If you don't have human beings watching the terrain and watching what goes on, how can we save the animals? And
right.
I was livid because I was silenced. And now these USF professors are starting to say, well, you know, maybe she wasn't so stupid after all. You know, maybe her and Anita Stewart weren't so dumb after all. But they're still on the take with BP.
Yeah, this was pretty amazing just this past week, because Rob Lori, who does a great show out of our local community radio station in Tampa called WMNF, he touched on a professor's TED talk, and it was a professor of oceanography, and I don't have his name handy. In fact, I'm going to try looking it up right now, but in any case, Rob had made a comment about it, and I right away, while Rob was on the air, I started shooting him some emails. Here's some links.
Right.
Take a look at this. And he emailed me back quickly after the show was over and said, Anita, I think this would hold a lot more credence. He goes, when I post this information on the news portion of the WMNF website, he said, just go there and put the links there as a comment so other people can read. So I thought, oh, my God, I was sending him stuff back when this was happening.
Absolutely. Well,
and
we largely
ignored,
kept telling
and now
these
all of
people.
It's news. You know.
Right. We kept telling these people the human impact, and we had positive fingerprint analysis at Sarasota Beach tied right to the Macondo well.
Right.
We had pictures of these people and how sick they were. And
right.
At the end of it, when I walked in, I felt it was being set up. They introduced me to all the illustrious PhDs at USF, and then they wouldn't even let us talk. And so then what happened was Anita and I walked out and said, this is not free speech. This is garbage. I mean, Lisa Nelson had just died from walking on the beach in a harvest moon. And I had all these pictures of what people had on their bodies and how sick they were, you know, just from a skin analysis. But then
right.
we get deeper into it, and we get into mercury toxicity. We're getting into toluene toxicity. We're getting into lead toxicity. We're getting into heavy metal toxicity. But then 2-butoxyethanol toxicity. And then
right.
I find out, you know, these fishermen that and these people that were in Louisiana who could not even pronounce the name of this one component, which was silicon tetrafluoride, kept calling me and saying, I saw these bullets on the docks being guarded by BP. I saw them. And they spelled the words out, and I almost had a freaking heart attack. Silicon tetrafluoride is one of the most dangerous substances, and it is being used, actually, to sink the Corexit and to sink the abiotic oil.
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, we have this silicon crap coming up on shore. And I, you know, I just, and I have filed FOIAs against Cameo Chemicals and against the EPA, asking them to please divulge the truth. Now, this was a year ago. I faxed them. I've emailed them. I've emailed our senators. I've emailed Rick Scott. I've emailed Pam Bondi. I've made phone calls. And just wanting to have a meeting with these people. Because New Orleans isn't the only place affected. We have not only New Orleans, we have Alabama, Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, and we also have Florida in the panhandle being affected. I was up there with Tricia James. We were pulling silicone balls off the beach.
Wow.
Now,
this,
I filed FOIAs
that Rob had talked about. It was when Rob talked about this show, when he mentioned the Gulf of Mexico being a toilet bowl, he had quoted Dr. Jeremy Jackson from Scripps Institution of Oceanography. And the TED is linked. It's under the news. Actually, I'll post the link under the show when I put the little player in for the archive so people can look at it. But immediately, as soon as I was posting links, can you hear me, Tricia? Because I can't hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
You might want to turn down your audio because that can echo back on us.
Okay.
But when I started posting these links, right away there was this guy named Dog, and his comments are still here on the news story. And he is basically doing the same thing that we've encountered at other places on the web when we're being attacked by the trollers. But he was stating, you know, you have no facts. So a whole bunch of people backed me up with facts, and I see here he had a comment after I put up Mark Circus's report. And
now that man is amazing.
His Dog's comment was, more confused than ever. It is clear that you have no talent for getting your point across. I give up.
Oh.
So
you know what?
Okay.
Do you know, I'm beginning to find out what they think of us is none of our business. We just keep pushing our agenda, and that what they did was wrong. BP should not be allowed to ever do any more drilling, ever do anything in the United States of America.
Well, yeah,
they should never be allowed.
Their charter should have been revoked immediately, but
unfortunately,
one of the first points that I brought up after the Gulf oil spill, which, you know, a lot of people didn't want to hear at the time, was that our government was in on it at the highest levels and that they know exactly what's going on. And big oil funds political campaigns. So these candidates, these leaders of ours, don't want to rock the boat because that's how they're getting paid. So it is a method of blackmail. It is a method of extortion. Our laws and our legislation are written by the lobbyists that work for the big corporations, and in turn, these laws and legislation become the laws that govern us, and in so doing, when our representatives sign off on these things, they're getting paid.
Absolutely.
So there is no justice here anymore. And
right.
our military is in on it. Our
yep.
military do the spraying.
Right.
And they guard.
I mean, all anybody has to do is go to Facebook and friend me, you, Trisha James, and I'm now with Paul Grogan. Paul Grogan was a mariner out there, and
mm-hmm.
and he was on a firefighting boat. And what
mm-hmm.
happened was, what people don't realize is that when the Makonda went down, it was in the plug and abandonment phase. Now,
right.
there's three phases of oil, but the last phase is plug and abandonment. So what happened was, he was out there, and he saw, you know, he was fighting that fire. He was a first responder, and he was fighting that fire. And he said, you know, that it went from BP within an hour, it went from BP to Transocean to salvage.
Hmm.
Now, when it went to salvage, who is the company that was the insurance company for salvage? Lloyd's of London.
Interesting.
And I have a, yeah, and I've been trying to get an attorney because when he took all of his information to Senator Paul Ryan, he took his information to the Department of Justice, and I have been fighting to get an attorney for him pro bono. Because then, after he did that, he lost his job with BP. 10 years. He loved what he did. He loved his job. He loved being a captain. And he lost his job because he took a 3.5-hour video and took it to the Department of Justice and Senator Paul Ryan and the FBI. Now, the bottom line is, under the Whistleblower Protection Act, he should be covered. And the other thing that's very interesting about this is that, you know, from a mariner's perspective, I'm learning so much from many mariners. They're all emailing me, and they're all saying, hey, listen, there's spills that go on every day. And what happens is, especially with BP, what happens is if they report a spill, then they have to negotiate with the contractors on how much they can report the spill is.
Right.
So there have been spills going on for years.
Right.
And
that's,
these guys have been dumping Dawn on them. And the other thing that's really interesting, Anita, is in 2014, there's going to be a change in the Maripol Act, which means that they can't use surfactants like Dawn in the water. They can't use all these chemicals. What I find interesting, Anita, is that, you know, here is the situation, and if you read B.K. Lim's work, it was made to happen. They knew it was no good. They knew it was going down. They knew because they were in plug and abandonment. And secondly, what happened was that there was a big argument on the day of that blowout between BP and Halliburton. Or
yeah,
Trans-
I remember
Ocean,
hearing
I'm sorry.
It.
There was a big argument that day. And Transocean said, we don't want any part of this. But when you listen to this 3.5-hour video, which we'll get out there eventually, we're trying to get attorneys to pick this up. But in that 3.5-hour video, it tells you the relay. You can hear where they say, BP says, I don't want to hear any more about this. It's now Transocean. And Transocean says, we don't want to hear any more. It's now Salvage. Well, listen, that rig was made to go down, Anita, because a half a rig blowout, insurance doesn't pay. A full rig blowout, insurance pays. And who's the insurance company? Lloyd's of London.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's, I don't know about you, but there were those pictures that were released that were actually leaked.
Right.
Quite a few days, maybe 4 or 5 days after the rig actually went down. And right away I was puzzled as I was looking at these and analyzing these pictures, being pretty much an expert with open source intelligence myself.
Right.
Right away, the thing that troubled me was the big hole on the helo pad. And I thought,
man,
the hole on the helo pad looks like a helicopter fell through it. It was actually like
it was an outfitting helicopter. Yeah.
And I thought, what the hell happened there? It looked like it just melted through the whole helo pad.
Yeah.
Below that helo pad,
there was a boat below the helo pad.
Right.
And it was on pontoons. It was a pontoon boat below the helo pad. Now, when you look at that helo pad and you look at it, how do I explain this? Take a table, okay? If you take a table and you burn the table from the top, all of the wood will invert underneath. And that's
right.
Exactly what happened to that helo pad. It didn't come from the water. It came from above.
Yeah. Right. And at the time, as you're looking in the picture, for those of you that have not seen it, I have posted it on Facebook. But when you're looking at the picture, the rig is going down at like a 90-degree slant. So you're looking at
right.
the top of the rig from the surface of the water, but it's on a 90-degree slant. I'm guesstimating
right.
this. And the helo
well,
pad.
And if you listen to mariners that were out there,
mm-hmm.
they sat there and they listened. They listened to BP say, don't send us any more information. We don't want to see anything. Clear all airspace.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want people to know. And then if you look at it the day before that the rig went down completely, the water was being put up on the top. And then they told the mariners, don't put the water on the top, put it below to the weakest leg in the link.
Right,
and that's
right.
what brought that well there. That's what brought that whole thing down.
And I was looking at those pictures just amazed, and I was thinking, what is the motive? You know, I kept thinking, is this ecocide? Is this parricide? Is this an accident? Is this, I mean, with my, you know, scrutinous, always thinking there's something behind the scenes, I'm thinking,
right.
is this covering up something else? What is the motive for something like this to happen? As the weeks ensued, when I found out that our Coast Guard was providing security and our Coast Guard and Air Force were spraying the dispersants over the Gulf region, I was just infuriated by knowing that even if this was routine, this is something that the normal person doesn't even know. That these toxins
right.
are being sprayed
on. We don't want to believe that our government would allow this to go on. I mean,
and
really, we don't.
Let me explain this so people that don't know understand this. We have quite a few people as guests also in the chat room. So if you do want to call in and ask Tricia a question, please, this would be a perfect time to do it. But I do want to explain that many, many mainstream media reports will talk about how the oil is toxic. Well, yeah, we know the oil's toxic. But what makes an even more toxic mix is when you add the dispersants, which makes the whole brew even more toxic and more deadly.
You've got 2-butoxyethanol. You've got abiotic oil. You're talking, you know, there's radiation coming from that water. Because I have patients.
Drilling mud that's
absolutely
used in deep water also has nuclear components within it as well. And people don't know that this is routine stuff. And that Nalco is regularly used for any kind of little burps that go on at the well site within the Gulf of BP. I refuse to call it the Gulf of Mexico anymore.
The Gulf of BP.
Because BP owns the Gulf, and what they say goes there. It no longer belongs to the United States. And to me, when I think of that, I think of treasonous actions on the part of our government.
Absolutely. Every single American. Now, if they're English, we can't try them on treason. But if they're
the problem
American.
BP is a multinational corporation. So I know that the mainstream media has made references to BP being English.
And a lot of
really
the thing
is
what people don't understand is BP was like the godfather. They were the management company. Schwest Boats, they were the Schwest Boating Company were the boat company that was hired by BP. And from the very beginning, Schwest and Schlumberger have been working under BP's guise. And I could go into stories about the families, but I will not because I don't want to die. But
tell me what you think the motive is for all of this. Tell me what you think
the motive
is.
Okay, think about it. In 2014, all of the rules of what you put in the water was going to change. They knew that rig was going down. They knew it was no good. They had stockpiled many, many millions of gallons of Corexit and silicon tetrafluoride. It had been stockpiled. And so what happened was they couldn't dump it in British waters. So they knew that BP was going down. They knew it was going down. They knew that the Macondo was going down. So what did they do? They took all, because they know under the MARPOL Act and under the Safety of Water Act that all of the chemicals were going to change in 2014. So what better advantage did they have than to let the Deepwater Horizon go down, let 11 men die, let people go down and get sick, and no caring for people over profits, let that fire roll and let that thunder roll and then dump their chemicals that they could not use in their own country in order to take care of the stockholders of BP. So what they did was they dumped Corexit and all these chemicals that could not be allowed in England or any other area. And they dumped that stuff in our waters because in England they could not dump it in their waters. They had no place to use these chemicals, which are dangerous. They had no place to put it. So we are, and if you look at the history of BP, BP and Gulf Oil, GULF, they have the same, you know, trademarks on their logos. So BP and Gulf Oil have the same trademarks. BP will end up turning this country into Gulf Oil. And the bottom line is that they have the trademarks and they have the way to do this. And the bottom line is that Kuwait owns 20% of the stock in BP. So, you know, they can take BP and they can turn it back into Gulf Oil, and they have all the trademarks for that.
Yeah, that's
so
kind of
the
like
bottom
the,
line
they,
is they couldn't
yeah, they,
dump this. They couldn't dump these chemicals anywhere else. Now they've dumped
right.
them in New Zealand. Now they dumped them here, and they also dumped them in Exxon Valdez, along with Pseudomonas pudita, which is a genetically modified organism. And many people were reporting all these years on this.
Well,
they
do this in Florida with businesses where you're licensed to do business under one name and you're doing business as another name. And if you screw up, if you're doing business and you screw up under some kind of liability, then you can just easily flip your name to something else and then continue to do business.
Well,
and, the only
and guess what, Anita? Gulf Oil just sold to Cumberland Farms.
Oh, so see, the plot thickens. Every time
yeah.
you turn around, it gets worse and worse. But now what... I wanted you to explain to the listeners what you have encountered since you've been tirelessly working as a well-known medical professional and as a healer. What are the symptoms of the toxicity poisoning for people in the Gulf of BP region?
Okay.
People want to know.
I'm going to start from head to toe.
Okay.
We've got a problem with mercury in our water. And lead.
Right.
People are losing their hair. Their vision is going. They have their sinuses are just all screwed up. I have a guy named Pete who is coughing up blood because of the Corexit, because it blows up the red blood cells. Then you go to the abdomen. Go down to the abdomen, and these people are getting sick abdominally. They're getting like bleeding abdomens. They're shitting blood. They're coughing up blood because of the Corexit. Then there's neurological problems, brain fog, short-term memory loss, strange rashes. The neurological problems are going into their feet. Then we have the rain picking up the toxins, and I was up in the panhandle and at Thanksgiving, and I was out there and I was checking out all this mold and all this stuff on these trees, and the water is carrying this Corexit and dumping it on the land. And so I was up there and I was checking out the mold and all the mildew and all the stuff that was coming from this and doing, you know, water. I was doing some water testing, and the pH is very acidic of the water. And so now these people are getting really acidic. Now it's hitting our fruit crops. It's hitting our vegetable crops. It's hitting everything. It's toxic rain. And so I was out there, and I was at my friend Heather Dixie, her house at Thanksgiving, and I was up there with Tricia James. And, you know, within 24 hours, I broke out in an overall body rash. And I had to go to the emergency room, and I've been sick now three times from this, from the initial exposure, from being up there. And then I broke out in a full body rash. I had to go to the emergency room, and I had to tell them what to give me. You know, I needed Solumedrol. I needed Benadryl IV. I needed all this stuff, and I was really sick. And then when I came back, my initial exposure, when I came back, David and I, my videographer, he and I came back from Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, and we were both really sick. And so we went through a full detoxification system in order to get better. But then, you know, the problem is, Anita, is that, okay, we can get them well. We can do, you know, infrared dry sauna, magnesium. We can do zinc. We can do this. We can do that. But if we keep putting them back into the area where the contamination began, then they're going to get sick again. And we have how many children that are sick?
Well, I heard a number of 11,000. I don't know who got that number or how that can be verified, but I have no doubt of it. I'm just saying, how is that verified? And I'm sure that's verified by people actually counting numbers in their own respective communities. But, you know, what is amazing to me, and I hear this story over and over and over again, is the fact that the doctors are explaining this away and medicating for other conditions, and most of the doctors aren't even aware or know about environmental sick poisoning. And therefore, most of these people are completely misdiagnosed. Their illnesses or their real true source of their illnesses is being explained away as something else. And I can use an example. I can use the example of Lisa Nelson. I remember you and I watching that video of her the first time. Lisa Nelson was probably one of the first known victims of the Gulf oil gusher in the Gulf
after,
of BP.
Yeah, after the Gulf oil spill, she was walking on the beach. It was a harvest moon.
It was September 21st, and it was probably a pagan full moon circle, and I don't know if it was pagan or it might have been New Age or white light or whatever it was, but anyway, she was doing a full moon circle with other people, and they got in the water. It would have been called Mabin if there was a pagan reference, and right away she became sick, and I think she started having the upper respiratory stuff before she had anything else.
Right.
And I remember you and I looking at the video and then talking about it on the phone, and then you had made the comment, well, they've misdiagnosed her and they're giving her steroids.
Steroids.
Looking at the picture of her before and then looking at the picture of her after and the video of her after, she had completely swollen up. She didn't even look
And at the time, I was married to a physician. And you know, I'm now in the middle of a divorce, but it's no big deal. But the bottom line is, he and I looked at that, and he said, that is not mycobacterial pneumonia. That's poisoning. And I looked at it, and I've looked at a lot of CAT scans. You know, I'm getting a lot of CAT scans back from these people and looking at them and sending them over to other doctors. And the bottom line is that they gave her enough steroids for a horse. That's why she was so blown up.
I believe she died. Now, if I don't have this date right, you know, forgive my memory, but I believe it was the first week of March in 2011, I got the news that she had passed away. I had never met her. I had spoken to her on the phone on a number of different occasions just to verify what was happening with her. I wanted to make sure that there was no mistaking her condition.
Right.
And I was just devastated over that. I posted that on my blog. I thought, who is going to prove that she died from toxicity, from exposure?
Well, and you know, I have all kinds of videos that I did with Tricia James. I went up there with my assistant, David Curtis. We interviewed Captain Lori DeAngelis. We interviewed Kimberly McEwen. I worked with many people up there. And I have I have 34 videos of what went on up there. I worked with David, what's his name? Anyways, in Gulf Shores, I went up there, and then I interviewed Tricia James. And Tricia James was very, very sick when I got a hold of her. And these people need systemic detoxification. They need,
right.
We need clinics so I can pull them out of that region until they have a way to bioremediate it safely. And let me tell you something else, Anita, and this is what's really, really interesting. I spoke with a gentleman, I will not mention his name, but benzene has rings around it, okay? And benzene is holding in PCBs. If we do not bioremediate that water correctly, it's going to underlie and underleash PCBs. If they do that, then you are going to see 40,000 people die from PCB toxicity.
Wow.
Now, we have a way to bioremediate this, and I can't mention the guy's name, but Florida Progress has tested his stuff, and there's a way to bioremediate it and bring it back to its natural state and you know, go in there and dredge it in the waters and things like that. And this guy is brilliant. I mean, he, through the use of essential oils and things like that, we can bioremediate that water. But if we use the wrong bioremediator, it is going to unleash those hexane rings, and then it's just going to unleash these PCBs.
It's going
and
to be just like
people,
a complete toxic soup. And
you
what
got
freaks
it.
Is these people are, I mean, this is the height of tourist season here in Florida.
Yeah.
And people are down here, and they're swimming in the water, and they're eating the shrimp, and
yeah.
I'm just, my mind, I'm just going, yum, yum, eat them up. I mean, I
we
saw
will
some
not eat any Gulf seafood. None.
No.
I won't touch it.
I actually saw them for sale at Winn-Dixie just the other day. I happened to go in to do some shopping, and they had, I guess it was before the holiday weekend, they'd taken like this whole, half of the seafood counter was out towards the front of the store, and they were,
yeah.
You know, they had people, you know, giving samples and et cetera,
well,
et cetera.
Do you know what I do? I go by those seafood counters, and before I go there, I take little Post-it notes, and I say, Gulf seafood will kill you. And I just
yeah.
pump those little Post-it notes on the seafood counters. You know, and
yeah,
what kind of seafood can you trust? From Fukushima, we've got seafood in California that's radioactive. Now we have the Gulf, which is just dangerous. And, you know, people are going to die.
I want to challenge anybody that's listening out there. Can anybody tell me before the end of this show how many active oil rigs are in the Gulf of BP right now?
Absolutely. They need to be thrown out of this country. They need to
and
be
I'm
thrown out.
Really,
they need
it's
to be put on charges of genocide, homicide, conspiracy, and you know, look at all the dolphins. I was out with Captain Lori. Look
mm-hmm.
at all the dolphins that are beaching themselves, and the calves and the mothers are just, you know, prematuring, giving birth to these dolphins that are dead, and mothers, real mothers, are losing their children because of Corexit.
Yeah, they're not. There's a high spike right now of miscarriages, and this is happening in California and in the Gulf of BP region.
It's all endocrine disruption. I mean,
right.
they have gone out there and disrupted the whole ecosystem, and this is called endocrine disruption. And why are these mothers giving spontaneous miscarriages to children?
Well,
you know,
people need to know that the dolphins beaching themselves and having spontaneous abortions, you know, and their babies being beached, and then the mothers are beached. It's just horrific. But they are the last on the food chain, and then there's us, humans.
And you know, Anita, the sad thing is, and the thing that totally breaks my heart, is that they have put profits over public safety.
Right.
It breaks my heart.
Why don't you tell our listeners about the seafood testing and what that consisted of?
Well, Trisha James in Navarre, who's an angel of God, Trisha James went to the EPA website, and we started tearing that website apart. And we found out that you can only have a certain amount of shellfish, of oysters, of finfish over a five-year period in order not to get cancer. And if you go to my website, I'm not really sure what it is, but it's all over YouTube. If you go to my website, it's ESP Botanicals on the website, or Google my name, Trisha Springstead, you can see where we've gone and fought these people. And we've proven that the EPA told us exactly what was going on, but their math was wrong. So Trisha James tore that math apart, and she and I talked, and I put out a YouTube video on seafood safety. And what I did was I took a scale and said, this is how much seafood you can have. This is how much finfish, how much shellfish, how many oysters you can have in over a five-year period in order not to get cancer. And
yeah,
the bottom line is,
and
you might want to post that so people can really look at it, because I weighed everything. I took oysters, I took finfish, I took shrimp, I took everything, and weighed it to show people what really was going on. And some of the comments are great, you know, she should run the EPA. Well, like, I do not want to run the EPA. You know, I don't want to have anything to do with the EPA because they're not listening to what I have to say. But it's not really the EPA that's holding us back. You know, bottom line, it's not the EPA that's holding us back. It is, you know, when all this went down, who was the captain of the ports? The captain of the port is the one that says, you can dump Corexit, you can dump this, you can dump that. I want to know the names of the captains of the port that we dumped this Corexit on. Because according to Maritimers, you know, I've learned so much from the maritime people that are out there, and they feel horrible. I mean, they feel terrible that they backed down on this. And, you know, and I work with whistleblowers, and I've just contacted the Robert F. Kennedy Foundation to find a lawyer for the maritime guys that were out there and watched all this shit go down. And I'm hoping that they'll contact me. But the bottom line is, I have maritimers that have lost their jobs, that have worked for these corporations, that tried to do the right thing. They try to do the right thing, and then they get fired, and they're blackballed from a business that they love. And the rules were all in effect, Anita. They were all in effect, and they were getting ready to really go in effect in 2014. And BP knew this. They knew it.
So between that and between the fact that, you know, they had the deadline of 2014, but also the insurance payout would have been the other motive.
Absolutely. Half of a rig would have paid nothing.
Where do we go from...
Half of a blown-out rig would have paid nothing. And these Maritimers sat there and they watched that rig go down to the ground, go down under the water. And there were only very few that came out against BP. And these were longtime mariners that worked for BP, and they lost their jobs. They took all their information and everything to the Department of Justice, to Senator Paul Ryan, and nobody has done anything for these guys. Now, the other thing that's really interesting is that mariners had to report to onshore, to BP. Okay? So if you have to report onshore, they don't know what the hell's going on. They were cleaning out that airspace, Anita. They were cleaning out airspace. They didn't want to know anything. They transferred it to Transocean and then salvage. And Lloyd's of London pays out on salvage. So
but not on
we've been controlled by England. Every BP rig, every BP idea in the United States of America should be shut down and thrown out. We've had spills now in New Zealand. We've had spills all over the place. And the bottom line is that you know, Chevron in the New Zealand thing, you know, they still stood up to the plate and said, yeah, we screwed up. You know, we blew it. We blew it. So, you know, I'm not saying we're ever going to be able to stop drilling, but I am saying that if they're going to drill, they need to follow the maritime laws, the MARPOL laws, because they're there.
Right.
And then I've gotten phone calls from women that whose husbands worked for BP and worked for these corporations, and the husbands would come home and say, we had a spill. We had a big spill. And I had to negotiate with BP how much I could report. And the other thing that people need to realize, if an oil company has a positive report, they've never had any spills, they're lying. Because these spills go on every day.
So a lot of them aren't noticed because they're so-called, quote-unquote, small amounts. And what we would probably not consider small, but would be considered small from those on
oil. Well, you know, these
oil.
Guys, these maritimers that work on the rigs that see these spills will report them, and then the guy that's the head of that of the rig or whatever will say, well, it wasn't that big. Now we need to bring it down. Now we need to do this because
so the number,
we can't report
the numbers
this.
Get separated.
They're totally skewed.
Yeah.
We've had we have had so many spills out there in those waters that these people don't report. And I'm going to tell you right now, if they say they have a zero safety report, that everything was fine, they never had a problem, they're lying.
Oh,
they are
that.
Probably the worst polluters.
Hmm.
Now, I've learned so much, Anita.
It's been a very enlightening almost 2 years. And for part of the 2 years, I know I wasn't sleeping very well, and I know you weren't sleeping very well, and it was up all night trying to get information and networking with people throughout the Gulf region.
I mean, my God, I talked to mariners that were out there, and they have PTSD. They can't sleep. They can't, you know, I mean, they feel so badly about what happened, but they can't sleep. And they have PTSD. Just the mariners that are being honest enough to say, I can't do this anymore. you know, this is horrible. And you know, we need to start listening to the Mariners, because those guys that tried to put out that fire took orders from Land. Land didn't have any idea of what was going on. But if they would have listened to those Mariners, they could have put out that fire, and that rig would not have gone down.
Right.
Right.
Well, I believe, like you did, that there was you know, reasons why it had to go down, why it did go down.
It had to go down. It was no good.
What is your take on the fact that, you know, the rig is still leaking, and that, I mean, a few people have said this many times, and I've heard it for the past almost 2 years, is that there's a fissure in the bottom of the seabed to be fixed. In other words, it was just a major, major, major screw-up.
Well, I spent 9 hours on YouTube with Tricia James, with Bonnie on the Wings of Care, with Judson, with many other people. And what happened was, after T.S. Lee, we had all this stuff coming up in the water. And it was definitely, you know, abiotic oil and the cracks that were all coming up. And then I was down in, with Tricia, I was down in Navarre, and we were pulling silicone off the beach. That's silicone tetrafluoride mixed with all this other garbage. But the thing was, I have spent 9 hours on the internet working with people so that we could get On the Wings of Care and all these people out there to bust these people before the Coast Guard or anything could get wind of it. And so, you know, this stuff is starting to wash on shore. It's going to continue to wash on shore. And that silicon tetrafluoride that I talk about sunk it. It sunk it, and now it's starting to come up. You know, and we can't keep lying about this, Anita. We cannot keep lying. You know, somebody is going to have to step up to the plate. I don't care if they have to take every dime that BP has. Somebody has got to step up to the plate. We have sick children. We have sick women. We have sick men. We have people all over the Gulf that are going to die if we don't get them into a decent detox and help them. They're not delusional. They're not crazy. And I'm working, you know, I've been working with Morgellons patients for years, and they call them delusional. And now I'm getting people from the Gulf saying that they have Morgellons disease. So, I mean, it just goes one thing after the other. And it's all degradation of the bioterrain of the human body. We can get these people better, but we have got to get them out of harm's way. We have got to bioremediate correctly, and we have to help these people. And they don't have any money, and your bottom line, drugs, they're not going to help these people. You know, they have got to get into a good detoxification center.
This is what I'm working on. Yeah, where people need to have, people in the United States need to have single-payer, universal, not-for-profit health care for every single person in the United States. This has to happen. If this had already happened, then this wouldn't be such a calamity. This wouldn't be such a horrific situation. But with current situation the way it is, it has relegated the United States in certain areas, especially in the Gulf of BP region, that we're into third world status. When people can't even go to a doctor to get help.
Right.
Whether the doctor is not educated in that particular type of medicine.
Oh, man, and the doctors that are treating these people, some of them, they're charging $17,000 per patient.
Right. So this is something that has to be changed immediately. And I'm hearing reports from all over the region. Well, I got that one number, 11,000 children sick. Kendra Arneson is lately about nebulizers being in the schools to assist the children to breathe. I have never, in my years of health experience, I have never in my life seen a child on a nebulizer.
No.
I mean,
they were asthmatic, Anita.
Yeah, well,
no,
yeah, only if they were
asthmatic. Yeah.
Homeschooling or a school setting. I have never worked with a child that was on a nebulizer. Now, they have a closet full of nebulizers. Kendra Arneson was mentioning this. And I was, she mentioned on a video that I happened to see. I haven't talked to her on the phone lately. We have spoken, but she's mentioned this several times on several different videos. And I was just appalled to even think that, your child would go to school and then they would see your child, you know, struggling for breath, and then they would administer a nebulizer.
I know. And I'm working right now on a 501c3 so that we could bring people to, you know, I'm on the Nature Coast where you are, and I'm in Crystal River, and it's very, I've tested the water. I've got my water testing certification. I've tested the water. It's very clean. The air is really clean. I'm not seeing a lot of chemtrails, and I'm not seeing a lot of dumping going on here. So what we're working on is getting, there's a motel that we could turn into a healing center. And you know, and there's a couple doctors that are really interested in working with us. So I think that if you can pull the people out of the region, clean up that region with the right bioremediation, which I know what the right one is, but I'm not going to go into that. You clean up that water with the correct bioremediation. You get these people on the right skincare. You don't use any chemicals in the environment. You use only things like Arm & Hammer baking soda. You wash your clothes in peppermint soap. And you stop the chemical overload, then you don't use any kind of petrochemical candles or anything that has, you know, on my Facebook page, I just put the most 15 dangerous things in skincare, but it's also the fragrance oils, you know, are dangerous because they're up to 600, you know, undeclared chemicals. So everything should be essential oil, non-GMO foods, a pH diet. They need to pH their bodies. And we need to, you know, we need to prove harm here. And there has been so much harm. So I'm, you know, my begging is out to Dr. Mark Siris, is out to Lean is doing a great job. But we need Lean, we need Mississippi Mean, we need Florida Lean, and we need Alabama. You know, we've got to help these people, and we've got to get them better. But these people have got to realize that they're going to have to change their lifestyle. They can't keep going on the way that they're going. They've got to be able to step up to the plate and say, okay, I want to change my diet. I don't, you know, I need magnesium, I need iodine, because we also have a real big problem in that I have patients that are coming back with cesium, which is nuclear, and with plutonium, positive.
Now, what is your impression on how this is happening or where they're getting this kind of exposure?
Well, the abiotic oil and the mudding and what went on created a nuclear problem. And we do have a nuclear problem. one of my first patients that I went and picked up, she was a worker, and she worked for P2K, I think was the name of the company. And I brought her, and she tested positive for nuclear. So what we need to do in that case is protect the thyroid. We protect the thyroid with iodine, C-Calp. There's a doctor named Dr. Ron Cusson, who is a friend of mine. He's a nuclear physicist and a quantum physicist, and he has some really good iodine. We've got to protect these people with iodine, because the first thing that's going to happen is the thyroid's going to go out. People need to look up Dr. Mark Siris, and he has a way with essential oils for people to really get better. But they can't be spraying all this garbage in their homes, and they can't be using chemical cleaners on their clothes, because they're chemically overloaded.
This is,
and nuclear overloaded.
What people aren't realizing is that we're surrounded with these chemicals. I mean, the people in the Gulf of BP region, of course, were overloaded with the chemicals that they're experiencing even now in the air and in the water and the rain,
etc.
But when we're in our homes and we're using these different cleaning solutions, or we're just when we're even taking just they're finding problems even with this acetaminophen. They're finding problems.
Absolutely.
No, they're finding problems with. So you're getting things from the doctor that are actually giving you toxic overload.
Let me tell you something else. These people have really funky rashes. They're getting some really strange rashes. And the thing is that if you look at the topical creams that these doctors are prescribing, first of all, a lot of them are based in steroids, but secondly, they're based in mineral oil and they're based in petroleum distillates. And they're packaged in plastic. So the bottom line is, you know, they're endocrine disrupting.
I keep saying to people, why are you taking this stuff? Why are you spraying this stuff in your house? Why are you, even when you go to a restaurant, you know, the first thing you can say to the waitress is, the table's dirty, can you wash it off? And she runs off and gets a spray bottle, and she's spraying some kind of solution. Half of it's going in the air and half it's on the table. And you're breathing half that shit in. And I'm going, oh, my God.
Neurotoxins.
Yeah,
the stuff you buy in the store is triclosans.
Yeah, if I can catch the girl before she does that, I'll say, please spray that into the rag and not in the air. You know, and even then, you're breathing some of it, but a smaller amount.
Right.
I was exposed a couple years ago when I went into a patient's home in a pretty bad neighborhood of town, and she had used 3 cans of bug spray.
Oh, geez.
I didn't know until I went in there, and I was, you know, trying to, you know, help her with personal care. And all of a sudden, I was just overcome. I couldn't stop coughing. I was coughing and coughing and coughing.
Yep.
And then she showed me the cans. And I said, oh, my God, I can't stay. I had to walk out. And, of course, I thought, if I walk out and leave, I'm going to be charged with abandoning my patient and I'll lose my license. So I had to call my agency and have them send someone else before I could go.
And the problem is, Anita, the average consumer does not get it because they don't know how to read labels.
And it's not necessary for you to buy the chemical stuff. There's other things you can use.
No, absolutely not.
Things that are not done by these chemicals. you know.
And that's why I invented my skincare, because I found out that all the chemicals in skincare were so dangerous. And so I just invented something and it worked and I got a patent on it. But now I'm working with a woman, and I'll give you her name later, but she has all organic bug sprays, all organic fertilizers, all organic stuff that is not that expensive. And
I think I know who you're talking about. She's in Brooksville, isn't she?
Yeah, her name is Dory. And you might want to interview her because she's amazing.
I met with her the other day.
Yeah, Green. She is definitely brilliant. And
good.
You might want to interview her because there are ways that we can cut down on the petrochemical-based products, on the fragrance oil-based products, on the chemical-based products, and we can clean up our own environment. It starts with the person. It starts in their home. And we can do that.
And as a consumer, we are the ones who are in charge of the purse strings. We're the ones that go out and either buy these products or we refuse to buy them. When we refuse to buy them, the internet's at our fingertips. We can go right to the website and say, I refuse to buy your product any longer because it contains this contaminant, this carcinogen, that carcinogen. I'm not spraying this in my home, nor am I to it, you know?
On Facebook, I posted the 15 most dangerous chemicals in skincare, and I found a company called Legacy of Clean. Legacy of Clean is absolutely amazing. And you know, I'm not a big Amway fan or MLM, but their stuff is really good. And I based my skincare on no chemicals, even all the way down to the preservation system. So, you know, all of a sudden, all these people are buying my skincare, and I'm like, whoa, this is insane. You know, what's going on here? And so now I'm moving my formulary, and I also really want to work on home bug sprays. And I have recipes for that. And also thieves oil, and don't buy them from, there's certain people you don't want to buy it from. And that's cinnamon, orange, all this other stuff. And it will kill bugs. And, you know, but we do need bugs to kill other things.
Yeah, like I just took a plain spray bottle of soapy water, and I went out to my garden. This was recently at another location, and it was just like a couple of drops of dishwashing soap and in like a big, huge container, like probably 12 ounces of water.
Well,
and
the other thing is, why is the water so blue, Anita, that was never blue? Because they put blue dye into the Corexit. You know, clarified, I mean, waters that were normally murky, which your brackish waters are murky, and now they're blue? Come on. That's wrong.
Somebody found back when the oil spill was such a new topic of news. It was in the early days. Somebody found green gel-like substance in some intracoastal waterways. I can't remember which state it was in. But everybody wondered what that was, and they got pictures of it, but nobody seemed to be able to get it analyzed, probably didn't have the money or whatever.
And Tricia James and I were on the beach, and we were pulling up all this silicon stuff. You know, that's silicon tetrafluoride mixed with abiotic oil, mixed with Corexit. And we're getting this stuff, this silicone crap coming up on the beach. So, you know, I think if you know, and I spoke, and God love Tricia James. Tricia and I put this thing together, and we spoke to the Pensacola Task Force, and that's on my video. And I told them, hey, listen, you know, we are the people. We want to do the right thing. We don't hate you guys. We just think that you're misguided. And we can help you. We can do the right thing. And we need detoxification centers up and down this damn coast.
Right.
We need to get these people better. But they have to be willing to change the way that they think and they live.
It's hard to get people on the same page to even admit that something's wrong. It's almost like they don't want to know. They would rather not know.
Right.
And when you talk to certain people, they're closed. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to know about it. And I don't know how to get past that barrier. I really
we'll
don't.
Get there.
I have now, what is your take on the mainstream media as of late? Because it seems like some of these stories are coming out, but they're not coming out enough.
And, well, they need to come out full force.
Where do we go from here is the question.
I'm in contact with the Robert F. Kennedy Foundation right now, and I want them to take our case. I mean, it is bad, and what they've done to mariners out there who came out against BP, who worked for them and loved them, meanwhile, they have come out against BP and against what they've done. And I'm in contact with the Robert F. Kennedy Foundation, and, you know, we contacted lawyers in order, because I have a 3.5-hour film that shows how that rig went down, what happened, the whole nine yards. Now, many lawyers don't want to take our case. They want the video. And I'm not giving them the video. You take the case pro bono for the people and for
right.
the mariners.
Right.
You take that case pro bono, and we can change. Because Landrieu said, we did everything we could to put out that damn fire. Well, that's a lie. They did not. And these mariners that are coming to me are saying they did not. And so we get the Robert F. Kennedy Foundation, and I get a good attorney. And, you know, everybody wants Aaron Brockovich. Well, let me tell you what. Aaron's really busy. You want an Aaron Brockovich, you want a nurse, you want an RN, you want somebody that has a degree that can go out there and expose this, I'm your person. And I'm willing to work for a law firm to do this. But I have to have somebody backing me up. And I have to have somebody that will back the mariners up. Because their bitch is that they had to take orders from land. Why didn't land listen to the guys that were out there?
Right.
But those guys knew what was going on. And so what we're doing is I have to tell you about, there's a woman named Diane Castle. She just put out a book, and it's called Black Oil, Red Blood. And in the back of it, she talks about the Blue Bulb Project. The Blue Bulb Project was started by Captain Paul Grogan. And Grogan was one of the guys that was out there in the firefighting boats. And what he wants to do is make sure that everybody puts one blue bulb in the front of their house, or a blue ribbon, it doesn't matter, in honor of clean water and blue skies. Because, Anita, if you don't have clean water and blue skies, you cannot have green.
Right.
So our goal is that everybody in the United States of America and internationally put a blue bulb in their front lawn or a blue ribbon in honor of clean water and blue skies. And Diane put out of her book, it just came out in paperback, and it's amazing. And it's called Black Oil, Red Blood by Diane Castle.
And I just started reading it. It's a great book. I got it on
amazing.
My Kindle. It's amazing. And get
right.
it on your Kindle for, I think it's $2.99.
Yeah.
Diane Castle is a pen name of the author who is an attorney that has done litigation against these accidents done by the huge big oil corporations.
Right.
So,
and she lived in Texas.
This woman has it down. She's down with what's going on and with what the truth
yep.
is about everything that's happening in the Gulf of BP
mm-hmm.
and anywhere else there's a big oil accident. So I would, if you have a Kindle, just go to Amazon and download the book for $2.99, or I believe you can order it hardcover as well. Let me actually look that up.
$16.
Yeah, and
$16, and I got her book today, and I don't want to put it down.
Yeah,
it's
and
I actually started
reading it. I'm probably on the sixth page, maybe.
Yeah.
So
it's
oil,
a quasi-fiction book, but this woman is a hero, and she has worked with us and on Facebook, and she's loved us, and I mean, everybody should buy this book. And you know, she's not making a whole lot of money on it, but the bottom line is that it endorses the Blue Bulb Project. And we don't want to kill people. We don't want to make their lives miserable. But if everybody would put a blue light or a blue ribbon on a tree outside their yard in honor of clean water and blue skies, we could make a statement globally. And I now have New Zealand, where they had an oil spill. Now I have other people that are willing to do this. And I think this is something that we need to do to make a statement to our Congress, our senators, and to our president, that we absolutely support clean water and blue skies, because if you don't have clean water and blue skies, you do not have green technology. And so let's make it a positive thing.
I'm getting some ideas on how to increase awareness about this. Actually, they're hitting me as I'm speaking with you, but I'll talk to you some more about it after the show. But the increasing awareness is what we definitely need to do, and we don't want the story to be buried, which I think there's stories coming out now in dribs and drabs, like
and
Rob
we're
Moore,
fighting.
Yeah,
we're
Rob
fighting.
Moore, I just keep mentioning that one professor doing Jeremy Jackson
yeah.
from the university that actually did a TED Talk, and that was how he referenced the Gulf of BP, Gulf of Mexico. He said,
right.
It is the toilet bowl of America. And I thought,
absolutely.
Wow, nothing could be more truer.
Absolutely. Ira Lepper, he's another
yeah.
really good guy. B.K. Lim. You know, everybody
right.
look up their writings. Tom Tremato, Anita Stewart, Tricia Springstead, Tricia James. Look up our writings, because we're telling you the truth. And
right.
we want our Gulf to be safe. And we love our environment. And there is no line. There is no line. There's no degree of separation between our Earth and ourselves.
Right. We're all interconnected. If anybody
right.
out there has spiritual bit in their body or follows a Native American path or a pagan path or just a natural path, it doesn't matter if you're Christian, you know, if you're Christian, if you're whatever faith you are.
I have friends that are Christian, Buddhist, Muslims. It doesn't matter.
Cleanliness is next to godliness. And
we are all
I believe
one.
not only with my home and myself, but with what we do in our own environment, and do we leave our environment the same way when that we, you know, where we found it? In other words, when we're having a picnic, do we clear away the trash? Do we leave just our footprint and nothing more? So these are issues that are very, very important right now, because we are living on a dying planet, and we still have time to turn that around, but it's going to have to take some great awakening. And I keep thinking and hoping that the 2012 awakening is it, that everything that has been said or surmised of what's supposed to happen at the end of this year is really just a massive reawakening of people, and we learn to live in a different way, and we shift into a new paradigm. I'm really looking
forward
to that. And
that paradigm has got to involve love.
Right.
You know, I found out that I need to calm down, and I need to realize that the only way we're going to make a change is through love for each other.
Right.
And that
right.
that we reach out to one another in love and say, hey, let's make it right. Let's do the right thing. And you know, people don't want, I don't get up in the morning. You know, when I was a nurse, I didn't get up in the morning and go to the hospital and say, I want to kill somebody. I got up in the morning and said, you know, God, you know, let me do the best that I can with what I have. And I'm fortunate that you know, I had a mother that was a metaphysician and that was a good Christian woman and a kind woman that taught me, you know, that you know, you just go out there and do the right thing and the money will come. You go out there and you start working on yourself, but you also help other people, and the money will come. And I think that we are going from, if we go to blue skies, we go to clean water, we go to green. And it's time.
Right.
You know, it's time, Anita.
Well, I definitely believe that, and that's a nicer way of looking at 2012 anyway.
Yeah.
2012 is here.
Here.
And the shift is starting to happen, and I already feel it. Arundhati Roy made a great quote. I'd like to find it. Let me see if I can find it and read it. And I absolutely adore how her words, her books, and how she expresses herself with words. I don't know if any of you have read any of her works, but it's the one book is The God of All Thoughts. Let me see if I can find that quote real quick. But in the meantime, tell us about your new life and what you're doing now and your move and how things have changed for you in the past 3 to 4 months.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that when, you know, in 2006 I began fighting for Morgellons patients. And then, you know, when I met you, I was fighting for the people of the Gulf. And I'm now going through a divorce. It's very amicable. I'm very happy. I live, you know, I found a place that I'm happy in. I'm moving my formulary. And interestingly enough, there's a lot of people that want to order my products. And I felt like, you know, as much as I loved my husband, I realized that, you know, we were on different wavelengths. And he was a fine physician and a good doctor. But I realized that there was more to my life than, you know, a lot of people thought that my skincare and what I was doing was just a hobby. But it was so much more than that. And so now I'm living in a beautiful house in Crystal River. I have a duck that I've fallen in love with, this local duck. and we're buddies. And I found a place on the water, which I love, and I'm happy. I'm so happy. And I'm going through an amicable divorce, and it's okay. You know, I don't hate him. I will always love my ex-husband. He's a good man. He's a good surgeon, and he is a kind person. But I've realized that, you know, I have a higher calling, and that's okay. It's okay to have that calling. And so, you know, divorce, you know, my divorce is, you know, I'm not into attorneys. You know, I just said, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. And God bless you. And I wish you the best. But, and I'm not doing this in hate. I'm doing this because I want my life back. I want to be able to sing again. I want to be able to go on the water again. I want to be a scientist. I want to do the things that I love. And God bless you, and I wish you the best. But it's time for me to move on. And that's a very hard thing for people. You know, I'm a woman, and I've always been very independent. But, you know, I will always love him. I will always love his family. I will always love the people that didn't understand me. And it's okay. So I'm going through a divorce. I live in a beautiful home in Crystal River that I love, and I'm moving forward in my life. And I'm, you know, I'm not giving up, and I'm not walking away. And I think as a woman over 40, which the site says, we need to realize that we are not our husbands. We are not the men around us. We are the divas, and we are the healers. And that, you know, you have to follow your path, and you have to follow the things that you love. And as much as I love my husband, and as much as I love my family, sometimes you have to walk away and realize that family is not always related by blood or marriage.
Exactly. I found that quote, and this quote fits so much of what we've talked about tonight. So I'll just read it. And this came from Aaron Dottie Roy's book, War Talk. Our strategy should be not only to confront empire, but to lay siege to it, to deprive it of oxygen, to shame it, to mock it, with our art, our music, our literature, our stubbornness, our joy, our brilliance, our sheer relentlessness, and our ability to tell our own stories, stories that are different from the ones we've been brainwashed to believe. The corporate revolution will collapse if we refuse to buy what they are selling, their ideas, their version of history, their wars, their weapons, their notion of inevitability. Remember this, we be many, and they be few. They need us more than we need them. Another world is not only possible, she is on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing. It's an amazing the wordsmithing that she did with that, it's just so profound.
And I'm sitting here crying.
Yeah, and of her to relate to corporatism and the empire, which is what we are under. We are under this empire. And she says, the only way we can solve this is to refuse to buy what they are selling. We have to, like I said earlier, we are in charge of the purse strings. They can't come into our homes and tell us we have to go to Walmart and buy 20 pounds of rice. They can't
absolutely
force us to do that.
And you know, so many people are emailing me and saying, you know, my family doesn't understand what I'm going through. I don't feel well. I'm sick. And I keep saying, walk away. As hard as it is, in this day and age, sometimes you have to walk away. And you have to march to the beat of your own drum.
And if you're sick, and you don't have that support system, well, then obviously you never had it, you know, or maybe you had it early in those relationships. But I agree. If it's to the point where you no longer have that support system, it's time to go. You know,
and I have met so many good people. Anita, I met you. I met Cindy Sheehan. I met Paul Grogan. I met Pete Brizel, Trisha James, Mac McKenzie, so many amazing people through this. And they are my family, and you are my family. You know,
well,
my own family doesn't get it, and it's okay. I wish them the best. But, you know, like I keep saying, we are in it for a higher cause. We are into this for a higher calling. And we are for a higher calling. And Kendra Arneson and Sherry Foylan and, you know, all these people, we're all in it for a higher calling. And it doesn't matter what people say about us. I don't care anymore. What matters is we get these people better and we bioremediate correctly.
And I think that's going to be easier said than done, but I believe in the power of miracles. I believe that miracles happen. And I believe that every healing is a miracle. So it really truly is up to us and our intentions and what we believe can happen. And I believe, I still believe that, even from my Christian days, that faith can move mountains. And it has everything to do about intention and what we intend together.
And you know, it's not about one man. It's not about one person. It's about a universal presence. It's about a God of love, a God that's omniscient, omnipower. And Mother Earth, all Mother Earth is doing is when you toxify her, she's spinning it out.
And
people are getting sick, but Mother Earth will win in the end. And that's all that matters. Because 99% of all disease is created by environment.
Oh, I believe that. I didn't used to, but I do now. Yeah. I wanted to ask you something, maybe just to deviate off the spiritual path for the moment here. How close is the toxic symptoms, the toxicity, to the Ebola virus? Because I see a lot of similarities between the two.
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing a lot of the toxicity is not just Ebola, but, you know, if you have HIV and you, look at it, your oysters, if you had HIV and you went into a place and ate raw oysters, this was years ago, they said, do not eat raw oysters if you have hepatitis, HIV, blah, blah, blah.
Any kind of autoimmune disorder.
And so the reason I do not eat any kind of fish from the Gulf is because not that I have an autoimmune deficiency, but the people that do have it will get sicker. Now, as far as Ebola, I think it's worse than Ebola. I think you're talking mercury toxicity, lead, iron, you know, all these toxicities. And that will biodegrade the terrain. And if people would look up the studies of Antoine Bouchamp, who said it's all about the terrain, and stop looking at Pasteurian methods, which said it was all about the microbe, they could get better.
Mm-hmm.
And there's I have a poor man's protocol that I'll send to you. And I also have, you know, I have the skincare, and I'm working with doctors now from Washington State, all over the place. And pretty soon I'll have a list of doctors that people can go to. And if they want to do a conference call by phone, then we can do that. So, you know, I know that you've been going through your challenges with your job, and so my goal is to open up a healing center here, and I think we found a place, and bring people here so that we can get them better and meanwhile bioremediate the water.
So what do you think is going to be the situation with testing? I think that's like a big issue, because with the people in the Gulf,
right,
they just have the money for the testing,
right,
and testing is extremely
expensive.
Well,
there's very simple ways of testing, and that's hair analysis. You know,
okay,
get some hair analysis. Check for you know, hexane, benzene, all this other stuff. But if you go to Support the Gulf, Support the Gulf is on Facebook, and it's Trisha James Page. And there's plants that can tell you if your environment is contaminated and what to look for. So people need to look to nature. They need to look at Metametrics, www.metametrics.com. And they need to look at mercury and toluene and 2-butoxyethanol poisoning. But they also need to look at radiation contamination. And they need to look at the works of Dr. Mark Siris.
Right,
Dr. Mark
right.
Siris has been talking about this from the beginning, how it starts out with flu, it starts out with this, it goes into this. So look at Dr. Siris's stuff on Facebook. And they can friend you or me on Facebook, and we'll send them all the truth, everything we know.
Okay. Yeah, that's now I just clicked on Support the Gulf, so
right,
someone will have to, that's a closed group, so someone would have to authorize.
Yeah,
Trisha
will bring them in.
Right, and I. I'm noticing that there's quite a few people in the chat, but no one's called in. So I would assume that if you didn't have any questions now, if anybody's listening to the archive or wants to direct any questions, just go to wisewomenmedia.posteris.com.
Absolutely.
And
we'll, you know, give me a week. I'm moving my formulary right now, and give me a week or two, and I'll get back to them.
Right. They can leave the questions as comments, and then you can either look there, or I can email all the questions to you, and you can get
okay,
back to
me. Okay, great.
But I'm really wanting to help once the center gets built, and I really believe that's an intended. That too is
it
an
is.
Intended. And let me ask you. You said you were looking at a building.
Yes.
I'm envisioning, and I'll flip out if you tell me this. I'm envisioning a yellow building.
I live in one. My house is yellow. And there's one down the road that we've been looking at.
And it's
there's
yellow?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I don't know why I hit that color, but, you know, I kept seeing that color, and I kept thinking, yellow. Yellow. Whenever I think of healing, I think of yellow, blue, and green. I don't know why, but yellow definitely for cheerfulness.
Well, I'm definitely living in a yellow house with white walls, yellow walls, and just putting my house together. But down the road, we found a place that we think we can make to a healing center.
And isn't it funny that color would just jump out at me, and I just envisioned, and that's how strong these intentions can be when you actually put your intention together with other people's. You can make things happen. It just happens.
Absolutely.
And that's where I believe most of this healing is going to come from. I really
and
believe
I think
that.
We can really help these people with infrared, far infrared detoxification, glutathione, magnesium, calcium, you know. I mean, we can detox these people. But my fear is we do the detox, they go back to the where they're being poisoned, and they get sick again.
Well, my issue with a lot of this, and I'm really not passing judgment here. I really don't want to. I know some people really cannot stop smoking. It definitely is an addiction. But smoking has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a form of genocide. It is.
Mm-hmm.
And people, if they really want to heal, they have to stop smoking.
Yeah,
I have to.
Yep.
I mean, it won't happen any other way. So.
Well,
so
God
is
good, Anita.
Huh?
God is good.
What was that?
God is good.
Oh yeah. And the goddess
and
is good too.
And we'll work it out.
Oh, definitely. But I wanted to, we're closing in on the last few minutes of the show. We're down to 8 minutes, and I want you to talk about anything your heart desires, where you see yourself in 5 years, what you want to accomplish as you're going into the, how can I say, the crone years of your life.
Well,
tell us a little bit about that.
What I want to accomplish, and I'm going to make it real short. I want healing centers for people of the Gulf. I want to get my degree, and it'll happen, in environmental medicine. I have a master's in biological science. I'm an RN. I want doctors on board ready to work with us. And I'm finding a lot of acupuncturists and a lot naturopathic doctors that are ready to climb on board. I want to do a 501c3 and make sure that the children in the Gulf get taken care of. I want to keep going with my skincare, and because it's such great stuff, and I want to eventually teach somebody how to make it so that they can do it so that I can travel and give talks. I want to work with people at the Gulf with love and take care of them. And you know, and I don't want to be broke.
Oh, boy.
I want to live in my home and have peace and be able to leave my home and go to somewhere else and work with the people and be able to come back home and be calm. I want to take my yoga classes. I want to continue advocating for Morgellons patients, people of the Gulf, and toxicity patients. And I just want to do the right thing. And that's me.
I think that's a wonderful envisioning, and as far as being broke, I think there's a lot of us that don't have a lot of money right now.
Yep.
You're going to be doing a 501c3 for this, the healing centers, at least the first one.
We're working on
Do you have anybody that's or any organization that has offered to assist you financially? And what is it that you need immediately?
Here in Crystal River, we found a motel that is totally empty. And it has all these rooms in it. And we could bring these people here, get doctors here and nurses here, and we could do a 501c3. And I think that, you know, that's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where these people can come, they can get better, and it's beautiful. And then we can take them out on the water that's safe and teach them how to swim and take them out on boats and teach them that there's a beautiful water here, that there's a beautiful place here, and make it right and just keep making it right. So I'm going to start, you know, filing for the 501c3 as an advocate. You know, I just want to be an advocate and see these people and talk to them and deal with them and work with them and then have a doctor to back me up. And I think it's going to happen very,
perhaps
very shortly.
Perhaps we run as a somewhat of a free clinic type of situation,
yeah,
where you would have,
yeah,
the nonprofit funds coming in and you'd be able to sponsor people, you know, while,
yeah,
they were there.
Yeah, and they could come to this region in the Nature Coast where I live. They could come to this region. They would have a place to stay. They would have a doctor to treat them. And then we could, you know, the doctors, and we could be paid by a 501c3.
Hmm.
So that's my,
yes,
goal.
Yes. That would be,
and
very,
you know what?
Very, very,
since I came to Citrus County, I have found this thing, and I keep saying it: grow where you're planted. And I'm planted here. I don't want to live up in New Orleans. I don't want to live in all these places, but I want to live here, and I want to grow where I'm planted. And I think we can help a lot of people here. And that's my goal.
Now, we're going into the last few minutes of the show. I wanted to close with just saying that really it's up to us. We have to confound empire. We have to stop being a part of what they are selling us. We have to stop buying them. We have to envision the end of 2012 as something beautiful and a great awakening, and I really believe that that's happening. I think the Occupy movement was really just the beginning. We're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. It's happening all over the world. But I don't know when Occupy happened, when it first happened here in September. I was just overjoyed. I don't know about you, but I just thought, wow, the revolution is happening. I was just amazed that I kept saying, what is it going to take for people to realize what's going on? Whether you're a listener and you like Occupy or you don't, this is our people standing up to power and saying, no, we don't want any more of what you're giving us.
And Anita, we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Right.
There's nobody that's going to fall out of the sky and say, oh, I'm going to save the earth. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
And just the awareness of that, just knowing that, that gives us some power and control. And we can change those things that are right around our immediate sphere of influence. And I think that's the really important lesson to be. We're going into the last minute. So I wanted to thank the listeners for listening to our show and passing the word along. And please dig deep, support us. There's a WePay link on the website. And if you like this show and you want to see others, please donate. $5 or $10 if that's all you can afford, please do that. We want to thank our sponsors, which are Here Be Monsters, Roundtree 7, and the Hoodoo Blog. And Tricia, thank you very much for being on the show tonight and for just being a part of this great reawakening. I love being a part of it with you.
And I love you.
I love you too, sister. And
we've
good night
been through
to all
a lot.
And we'll see you again next week. Place.
Yep.
Monday night, 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you. Good night.
I love you. Good night,
love
everybody.
You.
Thank you. Bye.